The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki.
Hello. Happy Thursday, everyone. Last show of the week. Don't worry, we'll be back on Monday. I'll be in Mexico with Noah. Mm-hmm. Noah, we're going to broadcast from Mexico?
I hope so.
I didn't even think about it. I mean, yeah, we're doing it. I got asked to do another show next week. And I said, listen, I can do it. I'm trying to take next week off, like truly sink into a vacation. And but this, I honestly would miss if I took this show off. Yesterday, I had the longest day. And I know I always say this, but like I just am not used to having a thing that I don't dread and that on a day where I have so much other stuff going on that I still want to do this. But today. Why am I thinking it was yesterday? Today I have so much going on. Right after this, I have a hair and makeup lady showing up, 2 hours of getting gussied up. Then I'm going to sit down in this exact chair and put on my laptop and talk to Access Hollywood, Entertainment Tonight, E, a bunch of other things. And I was like, oh God, I have so much to do. And then, you know, just I haven't been able to clean my house or unpack from my last trip. Like I just kind of unpacked last night, but it's just my house is a mess. Andrew's actually leaving town to take his girlfriend to move to Chicago, which I'm sad about, but also glad that I'll have the place to myself to just, you know, I don't know, do whatever. But I was thinking about this podcast this morning. I had an orthodontist appointment at 9:20 and I had to go shopping afterwards to go get an outfit for this press day that I'm doing today because they offered me $500. HBO said, you can have $500 for wardrobe. And I just thought like, oh, they're just going to give it to me and like I can just wear something I have and then use it later or whatever because it will go to like I'll wear $500 worth of my own clothing. Like maybe they're paying me to wear it. But my assistant let me know like only if you buy something will they give it to you. So I went to TJ Maxx. Noah, oh my God. I'll get to that in a second. What I wanted to say was that I was like so excited to do this podcast while I was like thinking about like, I got to rush and do this. I was like, this day I would have a worse day if it wasn't for this. And this is all I need. This is all I need in my life of sin is me and my girlfriend. All I need to the very end is me and my podcast, Noah and Andrew, and my bestie's gonna listen every day. You don't have to listen every day. We'll catch you up. Yeah, I love everyone that listens every day and treats it like your morning radio show, like a drive time thing, like check-in. I love that some of you just pop in when you want to. Thank you for listening today and putting up with my voice. Sometimes my voice, I'm trying to be more like soft-spoken and like less like up here. Someone recently told me I am Anya and like my ex-boyfriend. A lot of people though, but some people that are not St. Louisans have said that my Midwest accent is kicking right now. Like it is back in full force and I don't mind it. You know, I just tend to sound like my mom a lot more, you know? God damn it, Nikki. Well, you know what? Like the other day, my ex-boyfriend said something that was very out of character. And I go, who is this guy? And how do I keep him around? Like I said something like that. And I told Anya, I said that. And she goes, whoa, that was very Julie Glazer. And I was like, I'm almost doing a character when I say that kind of stuff. You know, like, who's this guy? And when? But so is my mom. My mom is hilarious. God, my mom is so funny. I really like, I love my mom so much, which is, you know, obviously goes without saying, but, you know, there have been times in my past with going through therapy. I was just talking to someone yesterday about therapy, how it like makes you realize your parents may have done some stuff that, like, if you love your parents and you go to therapy, you might like learn stuff about your parents that like makes you maybe see them differently and you resist it because you're like, I just want to love my parents. I don't want to complicate this. Why bring this into it? And I went through a phase of like being mad at them about the stuff that came up in therapy. And then you go through a phase of mourning the parent that you wanted, that you maybe in a perfect world should have had. No one has the perfect parent, right? Unless you're I'm trying to think who's the perfect parent. My sister. I told my sister yesterday or 2 days ago, I really had a heart to heart with her. And I was like, as much as you're impressed by me, you know, hosting award shows and doing a podcast and having fans who are connected to me and all the things that I do that, you know, on paper, hosting F-Boy, like all these things that like, oh my God, my big sister Nikki has just turned into a star. It must be very, I know how impressed she is. And like, I could never do what you do. But I said, in the same vein, Lauren, you are the Nikki Glaser. Like the way I am in comedy and entertainment, you are that as a mother. Like I watch her, and no offense to any mothers out there, I just have never seen a mother be so patient with kids that can be very, very demanding. And she is just, I just would never expected it from my little sister who used to throw things at me in anger immediately. Like whatever she was holding in her hand, if I made her mad, it would come hurling at my head with pinpoint accuracy. You know, Gina Davis archery skills in throwing a remote at my head. One time she threatened me with a knife when we were babysitting ourselves. I was supposed to be babysitting her, and she said if I call the cops that she'll stab me, and she, like, held a knife up and, like, guarded the phone. It was very weird. My friend Kirsten was over and witnessed it. I'm glad someone bore witness to that. My sister was, like, crazy. Never really hurt me. I hurt her for sure, emotionally and physically probably. Well, we both, like, really hurt each other. But anyway, my sister's such, like, a gentle, kind, good mother, and her kids are not going to be, like, that interesting, you know, because they're like so deeply loved, but no, they're gonna be great. But what I want to say is I really got off on some tangents here. I'm grateful for my listeners. I'm grateful for all the messages I got yesterday about the show with Zach Sherwin, with the X show. You know, that was a little bit of a risk to be so self-indulgent in this story that meant so much to me, but maybe doesn't have applications in your own life. But boy, was I wrong. A lot of people writing to me saying how great it was, how emotionally evolved I seem, how it was just really nice to get all these responses about, like, Nikki, you've done a lot of work, and it really showed. And it's just like, oh, okay, good. Maybe I'm an adult now. I don't know. I loved that podcast yesterday. It was like truly, I just felt so much love for someone that I hated so much. And that, what a beautiful feeling that is. I really love forgiveness and being accountable for the things that I did wrong in a situation where I only was the victim for so long. Like, there's no doubt about it. I didn't do anything wrong ever. And boy, was that not the case. And I think that you can apply to it to your own life. Anything that you're like upset about and you go, I didn't do anything. There's always something to find, whether it's how you handle the thing that you didn't do anything to, you know, be, because I think about like rape and I go, I never want some girl to go, what was my part in it? What your part in it is not like how it happened in my opinion, in any circumstance, but how you deal with it afterwards is something that you're in control of and can be accountable for, and is probably one of the hardest things in the world. But, you know, rape victims are very, very strong, very strong people. So I read something today, though. I'm going to get to TJ Maxx in a second. But I just, before I forget, this kind of helped me yesterday and today. You know how I always talk about like those minor moments that will just derail your day, little like something that will happen in, well, just listen to this. This was posted by Marquise Goodwin. I don't know who that is, but he's verified. Marquise Goodwin on Twitter. He said, if you had $86,400 in your bank account and someone stole $10 from you, would you get upset and throw the remaining amount of $86,390 away? No. See, we have 86,400 seconds every single day. So don't let a negative 10 seconds ruin your entire day. You run this shit. Pay attention. And yeah, pay attention. Like those moments where I didn't even finish the story yesterday, but I got two coffees from my Starbucks I had to drive to. The second one I was saving for later in the day. Luigi pulled me in a way when I was taking him out, and it was because I had to put a leash on him because I knew people were going to be like, she has him off leash. So I put a leash on him just to please other people. And because of that, he tugged the leash. My Starbucks went flying. It spilled a whole venti Starbucks. There was probably a sip left. Spilled on a carpet in the little vestibule entering my apartment building. I went to the office, the leasing office, and I go, guys, I just spilled an entire latte. I am so sorry. And they were like, we're not going to tell you that that was just put in 30 minutes ago. We're not going to tell you that. And I go, well, you just did. And I am very sorry. What can I do? And they were like, don't worry about it. I felt bad about the new carpet, like soiling it. I wanted that latte. I was mad at Luigi. I got distracted by my anger. And then I had a moment out by the bushes when Luigi was peeing and I was waiting for him to poop. And I go, Nikki, you know what to do here. You weren't meant to have that latte. That would have made something about that latte. If you had had it, it would have made you sick. It would have given you some kind of weird energy that wouldn't have been good for your rest of the day. So God, whatever it was, had to intervene and knock it out of my hand because I wasn't going to do that for myself, right? So I paid attention to the negativity and I stopped it in its tracks and wasn't going to let that, because you know when you go, everything's going wrong today, and you start this like story about your day because two things went wrong. Let's say you locked your keys in your car. Then you spilled your coffee. Everything's wrong today. Guess what's, more things are going to go wrong because you're in a negative space. When I locked my keys in my mom's car in the trunk and it was like this whole fiasco, I just go, I can get a locksmith. This is not, no one died. Everyone in my family's healthy. Like, this is not that big of a deal. So I hope when something like that happens to you today that really fucks up your day, that you can remember. And I did this yesterday on my press junket for F-Boy Island. I go, you know, I was having the best time on the show. I really wasn't aware of how hard everyone worked because I was so protected as the host. Like, everyone was always cheery around me. And like, I was having the best time. Like, this is the best time of my life. And everyone's like, I've been working. I haven't slept for 16 days and like 1 hour a night and everyone's sleepless. And I would, whenever someone would come up to me and go, Nikki, like, it's just like, I don't know what to do with these guys. And like, they think this thing and I'm like stressed. And like, someone was having a panic, as everyone does on every production, no matter what it is. I just go, can we take a second here and remember what the name of the show is? We are on a show called F-Boy Island. This, nothing matters. Literally, like, the fact that we are acting like F-Boy Island is like our end all and like getting so worked up. Yes, jobs are on the line and your future economic stability might be on the line. But in the scheme of things, it's F-Boy Island. And so I want to start a new motto that whenever you get caught up on something that literally does not affect the health and happiness of your family and your loved ones, you just go, listen, it's F-Boy Island. Everything's F-Boy Island. It all doesn't matter. It all will be forgotten. That thing that you got stole, you know, the piece of jewelry that you, the ring that's in your family for decades that you lost, that was your grandmother's. That thing that you like can't stop beating yourself up about, you let down your family, whatever that thing is, guess what? All your family's gonna die someday, so will you. That ring is just a thing that will end up in the ocean when the oceans rise. Everything is a thing that will go away. Focus on what you do have and not what you don't have. And thankfully, you had that ring for many generations, and now it's time for it to be in a sewer or whatever, you know? I did go to TJ Maxx. That $500 that I was told about to spend, the only place that was open after I got out of my orthodontist at 9:30 was TJ Maxx. I ran over there because I'm a Maxinista, and I went buck wild. I spent $600 on oh my God, if you want to get good skin stuff, go to TJ Maxx. All of their facial stuff, like hair stuff. I got two gigantic conditioners, $14 each, that are really nice, like, you know, salon brand. And then I couldn't find an outfit. Like, nothing was cute enough. That's the weird thing about TJ Maxx. They have, like, their runway racks, which are, like, you know, hundreds of dollars. Like, priced down from, under like, $800 to $200, where you're like, okay, there's a $200 jacket, and then over on this rack, it's a $999 jacket. There's nothing in between, so it's either crap or, like, crap made in China or expensive crap made in China. That just has a tag on it that makes you think it's more better than the other stuff. Couldn't find anything. All of the runway stuff was like picked over, and I wanted to spend money on the runway stuff to get that $500, you know? And so I went over the racks a million times. All the sizes are weird. I couldn't, anything I liked was an extra large or like a zero. And I was just like, ugh. So I found this insane outfit that I'm going to wear for my press today to justify the cost. Yeah, maybe I might leave a tag on the pants so I can return them if they don't work out. But the whole outfit will be seen. I forced myself to find an outfit. I used to love this show called, it should have been called Make It Work, but it was called like Something for Less. And it was hosted by Elizabeth Hasselbeck, RIP, to when she was not a Trumpy. But she did the show where she would challenge people to go to like a Goodwill or whatever, like secondhand store, with a certain amount of money, and then find the most fashion forward outfit and put it all together. And they had stylists. And I just loved that. I love the challenge of being somewhere where like nothing is cute, but you got to make a fucking great outfit, which is what I did last week at Ted Lasso. That is more fun to me than going to a place that just guarantees that you look cute. It's such a better story to be like, look at what I did. So I'm excited about my dumb outfit today. I did it. You guys, I did it. I spent $500 at TJ Maxx. Aren't you proud of me? Let's get Andrew in here. Andrew! Alrighty, Andrew, what up? How'd you sleep last night, buddy?
It's a sad day, you know.
I know. Brenna, your girlfriend, is leaving town. You're leaving with her, though, so it's like kind of nice that you get to see her out.
No,
like,
I'm talking about the hot sauce I ate in my asshole. It's killing me.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's what we were talking about. I know you guys were both, I forgot that last night was your last night and you were here together. We went over to Whole Foods together as a threesome. And and there was an air of sadness of like, she's leaving town. She's lived here for a while. She's not from here, but.
Yeah, she's lived here, I think, like almost 6 to 9 years.
Yeah.
Somewhere around there. Okay, 69. Well,
yeah, everything.
It's a big range.
Yeah. How tall is she?
6 or 9 feet.
Yeah.
Yeah, somewhere around there. About 540 Jersey. Remember Beetlejuice used to they go, hey Beetlejuice, who's from Howard Stern.
Howard Stern, yeah, Beetlejuice.
They go, how tall are you? He's like, about 7'5", 140 Jersey. Like he would just he's the funniest motherfucker, and I fucked that up. But yeah,
no. So if you've never heard of Beetlejuice on Howard Stern, you gotta check out. Just go to YouTube and just crack up at the way he talks and how fast he thinks. Slow.
I remember they were doing. We should play this game where you got to guess the word, and the person gives you guesses. So his was the word was window,
mm-hmm.
and Howard goes sill. And he goes, Sill? Cell phone?
He's so cute. I wish him the best wherever he is.
Oh, he's killing it somewhere. He went back to school, got his MBA, I think.
So, sad day.
Sad day. We're driving to Chicago.
Have you guys talked about... I knew she's like in the other room. Have
no,
you guys
she's not here about right now. It? She's not here.
Oh, she isn't? Have no. You guys talked about... leaving or is it just like in the air? Because I didn't even know she was leaving tomorrow. Like all of a sudden you were like, oh well, yeah, tomorrow I'm going to Chicago. I was like, oh, tomorrow she's moving? Like it was just like any other night. But I think that's because you don't want to focus so much on an end. You just want to be in the present.
Yeah, I'm not one to like be like, she's, you know, I could have had multiple conversations with how I'm feeling about her leaving and stuff. And obviously I didn't do that because you didn't even know she was leaving necessarily.
I mean, we had a little talk when you were in the shower or pooping, whatever, when you were doing, but
yeah,
she's amazing. We had a great little talk last night. She's just, I haven't seen her for a few weeks since we spent that, since I first fell in love with her a couple weekends ago. And, just reminded last night, like how much I'm going to miss her and what like a friend she has been to me, even in the tiny conversations we've had, and like how there's so much more of our friendship that I'd like to explore and that I'm going to get to explore. I hope, like, I'll be friends with her forever, I think, and know her and want to like connect with her whenever I
take her to Tulum.
I mean, I honestly would have extended the invite to her at this point. She's that special. But last night we were talking about your obsession with golf. And I go, it's interesting that his obsession really ramped up as soon as he found out you were moving. I was like, I don't think it's a coincidence. I mean, you definitely loved golf before. You were obsessed with it another time in your life. But I think it's nice that you are getting distracted by this thing that can fill the time when you might be thinking about her leaving or when she is gone and you have to fill the time. Like there's...
It was funny yesterday. It's funny you do say that.
And she was comforted by that, I think, because, you know, like you can be a little bit threatened by your boyfriend's new obsession. And I go, I honestly think it has everything to do with you.
Well, I was leaving the range yesterday, and any golfer knows, you think, or anyone that does something a lot to try to really get better at something, and you think you cracked the code and that you're on your way to becoming a hero. I no, like literally ego. 3 days ago thought I cracked a code on a swing where I literally was almost crying. I was almost crying on the range. People were looking at me like, this guy, I don't know if it's about the golf swing or something else. Maybe the relationship.
You figured out your fade.
Yeah, I figured out my power fade. I was so fucking happy. And 2 days later, I swear to God, I couldn't hit it to save my life. And I hit literally 500 balls.
Did you get the
yips? The yippy yips.
Yeah.
And the more I tried, the more I tried to break it down, the less I tried to, I tried everything.
You were in a mood last night. Yeah. It was like, he was drenched in sweat, Noah. He hit 600 golf balls last night. It was the second time you had, wait, was the first time? You were doing two-a-days recently.
I did two-a-days once,
I
but
don't
yeah.
judge it at all because yeah. I am doing the same with guitar. Like, I'm getting new calluses and pains in my hand that are from overuse of like, no one's supposed to play this much. Like, my fingers are bleeding, you know, I think George Harrison said
but
that.
But do you ever play one day and be like, did I even fucking... play for 7 hours
yes.
yesterday?
And yeah. you know what? I've researched it enough that I know that there are days, and also it's related to comedy. Like I told you as soon as yeah. you said this, because last week Andrew's talking about going pro, which he obviously could do if he kept at it. It's without, he definitely could go.
I could play in like some off tournaments.
Yeah, but you could like get, I mean, you have the ability, we've seen it in this short amount of time, get so good that you're like really excited. So there's, you're naturally
yes.
good.
You're it's an a good sport for
you're an NBA, which I call a natural born athlete, but it just makes me sound like a dumb girl and be like, they're such NBAs. So, but you are. And I was like, it's, you were so sad last night about like what had happened. You kind of told me and I go, yeah, it's interesting. Like you can go from, I go do that with guitar. Like there's sometimes that I'm like, I could go pro, whatever that means. And then there are other days where I'm like, you should quit. And you go, I need to have less days where I tell myself I can go pro. And I said, no, don't do that because that is actually right. You're right. The thing is, pros will always have days like you have, no matter how good you get, because you know this as a comic that's been doing
especially it. Especially with
golf. You're an elite comic. Yeah. Like you've been doing that long enough that you are one of the best. So you have days where you're like, I'm fucking Chappelle up here. I should have every hour special that they give out. Like you kill in a way that is... no one could argue you're the best at it, in like one of the best up there, top shelf. And then you have sets where you're one of the fucking worst. And I've had sets where literally I go, quit comedy. You should never do it. Recently. And I recently went on a TV show that I can't talk about where someone had a performance.
Yeah.
That wasn't as good as the other people that they were like next to. And the person like had a meltdown because they were getting criticized for it a little bit, like just being like, hey, it wasn't your best or whatever. And I felt like this person was going to go and cry and think they were the worst and be in that mindset. And I said, hold on here. Because I knew exactly what that person was thinking. They're standing next to all their peers and they're thinking, I'm not as good as these people. I don't deserve to be up here with all these people that are better than me. And the truth is, I said, last night I was performing and I had a set. Did I already say this? I go, I had a set that the night before this show, I go, I had a set last night. I'm the best comedian. Like, I'm the best at what I do. I'm one of the best. No argument about it. And they all like clapped and were like, you are. And I was like, and I bombed last night. I had a set that if you watched it, you wouldn't even know that I had ever done stand-up. It was like, I lost my place. I couldn't find it back. I was trying to win over the audience. I kept stumbling. And it's going to keep happening no matter how good you get. So it is not about how good you are. It's that is always going to happen. So allow those moments yeah. to happen and forgive yourself for
that. It's like one of those things, though. It's like, you know, the bomb hurts because you're like, I am good. There's something about, I remember I did a comedy competition and I was going against people that were like, you know, 3 months in. And it was like, you know, everyone does 2 minutes or whatever.
Sure.
And I fucking ate a dick. And I was like, I'm so fucking bad. And I was like, no, these people are so naive. And they have like these jokes that like work, but they're not like great. They're just, and they just don't, like when you hit a golf ball and you don't play a lot, you just swing. You just swing. Lucky. Just like in comedy sometimes, like if you don't do it a lot and you don't know the failures or whatever, you just swing. And now I like, well, if I got to swing like this because I'm like this and I'm like that. And then you break everything down. Like with guitar, I got to play like, because this is how John Mayer yep. plays or this is how Taylor plays it exactly. And mm-hmm. and maybe that will get it in the way of your strumming.
Sometimes with guitar, I recently had a breakthrough with guitar too. The same day you had your thing, I was like, oh my God, I had one too. There's this part in an Indigo Girls song that I'm trying to learn that is just like, it's advanced. I even showed it to my dad and my dad goes, I go, how do you do this? And he goes, I think some guitars just can't do it. And I was just like, what? Like, that's not an answer. And this, she's playing the same kind of guitar I am. How did she make those noises? And he's going, you're not hearing what I'm hearing. And I go, I know there's an extra note in there that she's hitting. How does she do it? And I finally just did it because instead of trying to watch her on YouTube in slow motion, I just listened and I go, how would your body make this sound? And I swear to God, ever since I looked at the guitar as a percussive instrument, like Dave Grohl said, he approached it when he started playing after Nirvana, when he started playing guitar with for the Foo Fighters lead, you know, he was like, I looked at it like drums and it opened the guitar up to me. So I'm finding new ways to open it up to me. And there are some days where I'm like, I am so fucking good. I can't even believe it. My voice sounds amazing. I'm like, I'm ready to perform. I almost accepted a wedding gig the other day that my dad sent me a gig that they got asked to do that was all Taylor Swift songs. Obviously a Swiftie getting married. And it was weird songs too. One of them was Illicit Affairs, which is about affairs. The other song was like,
get ahead of it.
They were all breakup songs. And I was like, this is a weird wedding. Yeah, get ahead of it. Or like try to tell your husband something that you can't tell him.
I'm fucking a groomsman. Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of Taylor's. Yeah, that's one of her hidden tracks.
Song track 69.
I like was in a good mood and I go, Dad, I'll do that gig. Just tell them I can only do. Like, I'll give them all the Taylor Swift songs I know and I'll do the gig. And it might be like, maybe they're a fan of mine. They might like have some, like if I suck, they'll still be like, oh, it's Nikki Glaser playing it. So at least it's something. But I realized, oh my God, that's what I want to do. I am starting a Taylor Swift cover band with my sister. We're having our first band practice tomorrow. I'm open to names that you could give us that are based upon like being sisters. Her name is Lauren. My name's Nikki, that are also Taylor Swift tied in. So, I will accept names. She plays keyboards. We both have been, we didn't like playing music because my dad was too good at it and critical. So we both have never let ourselves explore this talent until we like became adults on our own and told my dad to zip it. And my dad is so sweet. He just doesn't understand why he's discouraged us. He's like, I don't get it. And we're like, it's not, just know that we don't even know why, but we both have been terrified to play instruments. And that's weird because we should like it, but there's something in our, I think it might be you, dad, but not intentionally.
It's like when my dad, I golf with my dad and I instantly play worse because one, I don't want to beat him subconsciously. I think you just don't want to beat your father. And you also don't think you can beat your father.
No, you shouldn't. You shouldn't. Your dad should beat you.
I always say that your dad should always be the one beating you.
I used to have a great joke that people always do. But it was one of my first jokes, and it was like, I love hanging out with my family. We still just do this thing every Friday night. We do family game night, and my dad always beats us if we win. He's a sore loser, and we're sore winners in the end. I mean, that's a pretty good joke. It has many layers. I might bring it back. But a lot of people have that, like, beat me thing of, so anyway.
Someone was asking me, and I think this is because comedians probably listen to this podcast. I was at the baseball. Oh, to tie back to the golf thing real quick, I wanted to say. So I was so sad about losing my swing last night and not being able to figure it out. And to your point, like, I think if I'm hitting well, I'm not so sad about Brenna leaving. And then I hit so poorly yesterday. I'm driving home and literally about to cry. Yeah. And it's not, and I couldn't count on my swing anymore to save me from being sad about her leaving.
Yes,
so it was interesting.
You couldn't distract yourself with that. Like, well, at least I got my swing.
No, I don't even have my swing.
Oh my God.
What? Wait, but, oh, the comedy thing though, they go, well, how do you write jokes without, If you know, because so many people write jokes out there and there's so much supply out there, how do you do things where you know it'll be
original?
And how do you answer that? Because you could start broad where everyone else, you could start and then make it specific. Well, I feel like is
I
how
just
you can,
know that the best way to check if a joke kind of like that, like beat me. Like, if I was looking up that joke to see if someone else had done it, I would just check Twitter. That's the closest place to check. Because if a comedian has done it, someone's stolen it from him and put it on Twitter at least. and you'll see it. So, you know, there was one joke that I remember my ex-boyfriend made that I thought was so funny that, like, Jesus is so fit, he must have done CrossFit. Like, I was like, oh my God, that's funny.
Whoa.
It's such a good, and I go, there's no way someone hasn't made that before, even though that is brilliant on its own. It's parallel thought. He thought of it, and then also so many things on Twitter. But, like, so many jokes I've made in specials that I made the first time have been thought of again in, not because they saw my special. I never accuse someone of stealing my jokes because... like with the joke, the game joke, I would say board. I would write in board game, beat, bruises, or so. I would connect those things to see if anyone, and then I would try different things and see if anyone had made that connection before. And what I would tell joke writers about that is that I know that you think your joke is original, but it's probably been done. But that doesn't mean that you can't still do it, because as long as you didn't steal from someone, it is still, you can still do it. Yeah. Someone will eventually tell you, hey, someone has that joke. And then you don't need to be embarrassed. No one thinks you stole it. Comedians understand there's parallel thought. I literally have stolen a joke from people. I've talked about this a lot. I saw Ali Wong perform one time at the Comedy Cellar. I loved her set. A couple weeks later, I was on stage. She's watching me this time. And I did her joke. We both have a joke about anal sex. And
I thought it was about you being Asian.
Yeah. And it honestly, it worked better for me, I thought. Yeah, I said that when you have sex, it was something like, you at first are like, no. And then it's like you let yourself get into it and you're like, a whole new world. You're just like, you know, like, what's it called? Aladdin. And I said the whole new world. She had done that. And the thing is, it came from a place that I didn't understand. I was like, where did that? I don't remember thinking that, but it just came out on stage. And I was like, oh my God, that's kind of cool that I just thought of that. And I even thought, came up with a funny line that was like, because after she goes, a whole new world, he goes, don't you dare close your eyes. And I like the idea of a guy being like, don't you dare close your eyes. Like, yeah, I said that after, and I was like, because I was like, it's a whole new world. And he was like, don't you dare close your eyes. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, master. And so that ended up being different than Ali's. But I got off stage and Ali goes, hey, oh my God, I have that joke, the whole new world. And I go, Ali, I stole that from, I go, I was on stage and I thought, where did that come from? I just thought it, I go, it was you. And I go, I am so sorry. And I think I said to her at first, I go, well, no, I think at first I thought it was mine. Or something, and I made the mistake of being like, I won't do it on TV. And then I was like, wait a second, why am I even saying I would do it ever? And then I wrote to her later being like, I'm so sorry I only said TV. I will never do that. That is yours. I took it from you, even if I'm adding some flourish at the end. That is not mine. And so it happens. You're definitely going to write material that other people have written, and it's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, awesome. Let's get to the news. We skipped it yesterday.
Oh, apparently we did.
You heard it here first.
Hey, everybody. It's Mike McClintock.
Oh, it's Mike. Oh, Mike McClintock. McClintock. From Veep.
I hope you have a great weekend this weekend. I know it's Thursday, but tomorrow's Friday, so Friday's pretty much Thursday, if you know what I mean, which is Saturday. And you're having a great time in all the swells, because every day is the same day when you're here with the Nikki Glaser podcast.
I'm going to miss doing this podcast in person with you, Andrew. I know. We're not going to be, we might be apart for a while.
What do you mean?
I don't know. I'm just getting booked on some stuff that's calling my name. We'll see. But the thing is, the podcast with us remote still work.
And I could go to any city I want.
I'm good with you staying here and working on your swing and taking care of our Roomba.
And coming to you.
No, Roomba needs you.
That week I'm going to be there with you.
Yeah, you are. That's true.
Back to the news. Okay, 5 children under the age of 10 were brought to a hospital from a barbecue after parents noticed odd behavior.
Hmm.
The kids accidentally ingested unintended THC gummies.
Ooh, how does this not happen more often?
Okay, I mean, so look at this bag.
This bag looks exactly like Sour Patch, but it says Stoner Patch, and the gummies have like stoner faces on them. Oh, these poor kids, they probably ate so much.
Oh, they look delicious. I mean, that's like a gun that like looks like a water gun.
Yes, it does. And
there's bullets in there.
By the way, all these gummies are packaged in ways that you make you want to eat them, like Tide Pods, and they're not Tide Pods, so you should not put them in your wash or eat them. And a child. I first of all, would have loved to see the first 15 minutes of or like once they kicked in. I would have liked to see the first 15 minutes. And I want to know, what were the parents saying the kids were doing? Were they like...
They didn't get too into detail. They just said they observed weird behavior.
Odd behavior.
I would assume one of the kids' head was in the cake. Another one was
just laughing at the kid's head in the cake.
Watching Dazed and Confused.
Yeah.
You know? No, but it is funny. Like how they
one kid was getting a lot of work done and podcasting a lot. And it's like, oh, he's got that Nikki Glaser gene. The Mickey Mantle pot makes them... Well, edibles fuck you up.
Yeah.
And those are so strong. Look at that package. I mean, how much were in each of those? Noah, can you pull up that package again? I want to, 10 kids under the age of 10. Is that what we're dealing with? How many milligrams are those? I think those have got to be about five each.
Five children under the age of 10.
And I'm guessing those 5 milligrams, even one. And what kid is going to eat just one gummy?
Oh, yeah.
It's actually 500 milligrams.
For the whole package. And how many are in the package?
Oh, is that what it means?
Yeah,
it's
usually what it means. So they're 5 and they're 10 each. So there's 10 of them, so they're all 5 milligrams. I'm guessing they were already open. I'm guessing the kids had between 1 and 2 of these, which is 5 milligrams is enough to make my dad takes half a 5 milligram. And it's like, I really had the best time of my life. Just that's a perfect amount for me. And he's 6 foot something.
Yeah.
And so these kids got effed up.
I mean, it's
those look delicious.
It is
by
funny,
the way.
Yeah. Like you get high and you just turn into like a little kid, just like enjoying the world. And these little sour patch.
I would rather my kids do mushrooms than tea than edibles.
Well, it's weird when you get high and you don't know you're going to get high. So you know, there was a kid in college. This is pretty fucked up, but he gave one his roommate acid without telling him.
Yeah, he pulled an Ari Shaffir.
Oh yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
did that to Bert. Yeah,
and the kid had no idea. He went thought he was going. I mean, that's on
I mean,
a whole other level.
A lot, I think, is that people think that's just funny. And sometimes I say like, that's going to be the way that I do it. You know, like I was just.
You want me to put ayahuasca in your coffee?
Well, I was just talking to the guy I'm talking to on Bumble, and we were talking about you know meditation and all that stuff, and I've gotten away from TM. I used to do TM every day to treat my depression, and then the depression came back. I got it finally treated with pharmaceuticals, big pharma, and now I'm really into hallucinogens. Like I either want to you know microdose or do LSD or you know ayahuasca and have these like I want to do an ego death. And I was talking about that, and like I do think I'm so scared to have those experiences that Megan Fox talked about that I almost want someone to just like drug my, I don't want it. I actually told Ari Shaffir on Joe Rogan's podcast, I like said to Ari, I go, you have permission to try to drug me or something like that. He's such, and so I have not been around him ever. I think it's a really cruel thing to do, obviously, but not if you're asking for it.
When was the first time you ever got stoned? Do you remember the day and
yes.
like the whole buildup?
Yeah, we called it Debbie, our friend Debbie. I have all the notes to prove it. We were like, who can get us Debbie? We were like writing about it. Katie
Raggi.
There were some people that could get us Debbie. It was freshman year of high school. We smoked it with my friend Ovni and Kristen and Kirsten down in the creek in our subdivision that my parents still live in. We went home. Kirsten... I remember a motorcycle pulled up. Like, we heard a motorcycle, and we were all, like, smoking behind. It wasn't actually in the creek yet. We were behind, like, the subdivision sign, this big, giant, like, you know, one of those big stonework signs. We were behind it. There's bushes. And at the intersection that it was, a car pulled up, but it was a motorcycle. And we were all, like, giggling, being like, shh. And I was like, it's a car. And Kirsten goes, no, it's a motorcycle. It's live. And we thought it was so funny that, like, we all knew what she meant.
Yeah.
It's live, man.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
live. But then we went home. We were so stoned. We ate a bunch of, but I was in control. This happens a lot with me. Like, when I did mushrooms with a friend of mine recently, I saw her getting fucked up, and I wanted to take care of her. So I just didn't let myself get as high. And I took care of everyone. And I went home. We made Tostino's pizzas.
Oh, those are
the best.
Microwave or oven?
Oven at the time. We were patient, I guess.
Wow.
We watched TV. Kirsten, we all went in my room because they were behaving too erratically that I thought my parents were going to catch on. So we went in my room. We were giggling so much. Kirsten went in my bathroom. We swore to God the shower turned on. She said she claimed it didn't. And that was the first time we'd smoked out of a
big
pen.
Live.
The shower was live. That was the first time. But we really, it's interesting. It didn't work for me.
You smoked out of a big pen?
A big pen with like
Dude, we
foil.
Are, I mean, we're weird. Our lives, I smoked out of a shampoo bottle. So we both smoked out of plastic the first time.
Yeah, I think most people do, man. I've smoked out of plastic, shampoo aluminum.
Shampoo is so stupid with all the stuff in it. Oh, like,
everything is. I mean, yeah. What I smoke out of now, I'm breathing in. Sometimes it goes through the pipe too quickly, and I breathe in just the lighter fluid of the lighter. And it's like, this is disgusting. Like, this is not good in any way. And thank you so much to everyone who wrote to me about not having shame about pot. And I'm really like, it helped me so much. It's continuing to help me. But it's gross. I remember smoking out of a Red Bull can with a very famous comedian who at the time I was opening for him. And he was like, yeah, I smoke pot. And I was like, great, let's hang out. We went to 7-Eleven. We got a Red Bull. He was like, I have pot, but I don't have anything to smoke out of. Let's get a Red Bull can. I'm like, all right. He knew how to make one. You dent it. Yeah. Make a little thing. It's so, this is a story I tell on stage sometimes, but he smoked out the Red Bull can. We got high behind a 7-Eleven. He was not a comedian that was like trying to creep on me or anything. We were just having fun. It was so awesome. What a fun weekend that was. Cut to like 12 years later, I'm like hanging out with this comedian at the Comedy Cellar, and I'm like, dude, I got some weed. Do you still smoke weed? I remember working with you in Virginia Beach, and like we smoked weed together, and he goes, yeah, I do. Oh my God, yes, of course. And I remember you were the first person, and I think the only time that we smoked out of a Red Bull can, which is insane because you're like inhaling aluminum. Like,
yeah.
That was so crazy.
I smoked out of a Coke can, yeah.
And he goes, oh, that's what I still use. And I was like, I go, really?
So that's 12 years
that's
of Red
really
Bull.
Bad. He's like an adult with children. And I go, that's bad. And he goes, yeah, actually, I kind of like only can. And I was like, yeah, you're addicted to aluminum, buddy. Like, he had the realization there, like, he goes, yeah, sometimes I don't even need weed in it. No, he didn't say that, yeah, but it's literally he's addicted to aluminum at this point. So watch out there. And someone actually just wrote to me about energy drinks and said that they have found that they have sores on their tongue, and now they know what it's coming from. So I would switch to some LaCroix.
It's sucking dick after you get ramped up.
Next news story. I loved that one. Oh my God, those kids have a tale to tell.
A study finds that more than 2/3 of all romantic relationships begin as friendships. Those numbers were even higher among people in their 20s and people who identified as LGBTQ, with about 85% of couples beginning as friends.
Wow. Well, I wonder, though, when that friendship starts, if one or both parties is just friends, too.
Well, that made me think about not giving up the vagina.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. But not giving up the vagina. But the girl's not even cognizant of the fact that they're holding out the vagina from the guy, you know what I mean? So it's like it's building up, maybe not like on the surface, but you know what I mean? Like he wants that fucker, essentially.
How the best way to get a guy to like you is to not,
if you're not
give
giving
them
what it they up
want. Yeah, so everyone likes the chase. Everyone, no one doesn't like what the chase, and at some point you got to give it up, and that's after they've fallen in love with you, you can kind of let down your guard and like be more vulnerable. But honestly, Noah, even in my own relationships right now that I'm kind of like toying with, I've seen how well it works to not let them in your vagina, and how it can transform someone to looking at you in a way that is truly like respectful and loving and like, and I am so scared to ever let someone in my vagina ever again, because that might go away. Like, I'm too scared.
But is any part of you going, you're giving, are you giving the vagina too much credit for this? And I'm not trying to hate on it, but I'm just saying the guy in question could be more ready now. He could be more understanding of you, could be more empathetic for you for a myriad of reasons, as well as not being able to be allowed in your vagina. But are you giving the vagina
a myriad of reasons?
I said a meerkat.
A meerkat.
A meerkat.
First of all, a myriad, everyone always says a myriad of reasons, and I just found out it's myriad reasons. It's like myriad is like the adjective. It's like myriad reasons. It's not a myriad of, which is, I think that's right. We can look it up later. But anyway,
I feel like I've heard that many.
So you're giving it too much credit. And you're right, though, Andrew. Like a person that I might be like getting all of this from, because I feel like it's because I'm withholding my vagina, it might be because of any other things that might be at play. However, the fact that I haven't let this person in my vagina, and how much they talk about that fact and are turned on by that fact and reference it
and are not like frustrated, but like really like think it's, and by the way, I'm not doing, at this point, as soon as I'm ready to let anyone be like my boyfriend and like committed to me and like, let's move forward, I won't have any problem letting them in, because I will know if I'm still debating, it means it's not ready. I'm not ready. But as soon as I'm like, yes, I want this and I feel safe, yeah, I will do it. But I know right now that it's not bad for him. He is enjoying.
Yeah, this. He's still eating.
He's really enjoying. And honestly, I don't know. I might try a relationship where it never takes place. It's good birth control. It keeps it so there's always like this thing that will keep it spicy and honeymoon phase of like, I can't have all of her. And mm-hmm. It's just really, it's been one of the hottest things in my life to not have vaginal sex.
I guess for me,
Have fingers and everything else in there.
Yes. I think, so it's you're, not a penis. The vagina is still being played around with. My only thing though is like, if I had a dog, right? Granted, I'm comparing a man to a dog, sure, which isn't far off. And the dog only came to me and loved me if I was withholding food. Not because of the love I give the dog, the petting I give the dog, the walks I give the dog, just the relationship, these myriad of other factors, mm-hmm, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'd just be worried that, oh, they only just want the food, and it's
myriad
like
factors.
a myriad of food.
Mm-hmm. So myriad then, food.
Yeah, Marion, your dog.
Yeah, Marion, myriad Marion.
Mirrors.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. Can I say that I don't ever feel like, the thing is, it's subconscious, and men don't even realize that is a... You know what it is? Noah, let me take this, because I see you chomping at the bit, and I think I know what I want to say about the book Getting to I Do, which this is all based on, is that yes, it's telling you to withhold sex from men, and in an effort, and by doing that, they will like you more, just as it happens because of it. But what the book is really teaching you to do is not to trick a man into loving you. That's like my jokey what I say about the book, and how I used to view it was like, don't be yourself so you can get a man. But what it teaches you to do is to respect your body and to respect the things that your subconscious mind that you can't control. Like you think you have, girls think they have, men and women think they have control over their emotions. And the truth is you don't. And you have to respect the fact that your body is biologically wired to get very connected to someone who goes in your vagina. So just respect your vagina. And then when you don't let a man into your vagina until he has earned it, until you feel safe, until you feel everything in your soul is confident, and you can never be sure, obviously. He can always change his mind.
Well, that's the thing. He might be doing all these things just to get the vagina. Then once he gets the vagina, it was all a fake.
Well, then you learn from that. Because that's happened to me before, but it was because I didn't actually do it right. I was withholding to get something, and I wasn't withholding because I respected myself.
I like that.
And you know what he's responding to is not the fact that I won't let him in my pussy. He's responding to the fact that he knows no man will ever get in my pussy. I respect myself enough that not only... because I'm not letting him in, he knows no one will. And that I am a woman that unless I am treated like a fucking queen, you're not getting that. And it's just, and when you demand respect, I've been talking about F-Boy so much, F-Boy Island, everyone goes, tell me what you learned about F-Boy. And I go, the only deterrent, the kryptonite for an F-Boy, they can trick you in myriad ways. The only deterrent is a woman who truly respects herself, doesn't fake respect herself, which I was doing forever, truly thinks she is a prize and that this guy needs to earn her. And when you have that, and when you truly believe it, which by the way is not easy to come by and is not something that you can just like say, like, you know, I've been saying like I hate this like fake body positivity and self-image positivity where it's like put a sticker on your mirror that says you go girl, and look at yourself in the mirror and you want to say ugh and hold your fat, go no you're hot, like that bullshit, unless you believe it, don't fucking do that stuff. Okay, just be nicer to yourself, but like don't this stuff is just, I hate all these women that are pretending like they've accepted their bodies and are forcing everyone to feel shame about the fact that they haven't yet, because it's a long process that takes so long. And if you're interested in my process, you can always DM me and I'll go into more detail, but because I have actually achieved it, that is the thing that has changed for me, is that I think when this guy sees me naked and he goes, "You are so fucking hot," I just go, I don't go like, "Thank you." Like, I used to go like, "Thank you. I love when you say that, blah, blah." I just go, "I know. I know," like, because mm-hmm. I know mm-hmm. I am so fucking hot. He is so lucky to be with me. He is also so hot. But like, I say I know in a way that isn't like, I know. It's like, I'm just like, I know. I thank you for seeing it. Like, yeah. It's not like, oh, good. Now I'm hot because you said it. It's like, thank you for saying what I already deep down know. And I would know it even if I was fucking and I don't want to say this negatively, if I'm fat, if I'm old, if I'm age spotty, tired looking, I'm fucking hot because I am. I just am. My spirit is hot. And I just, this guy recently has been so obsessed with my looks. The guy that I'm hooking up with that I'm not having sex with, he is so, he looks at me like I'm Giselle. I really feel like I'm in the movie I Feel Pretty, where Amy Schumer sees herself as a hot mom, like as Emily Ratajkowski almost in the mirror. That is what he sees when he looks at me, when I look like horrid hell. He's like, I just can't believe how hot you are. Yesterday he pulled an old ID out of a box. I have an old ID. He was just like rooting through this box. He pulled out this like driver's license, an old one. And I look like, I have brown hair. I'm like, smile, no makeup. It's a license photo. And he goes, God, I fucking love this face. And this guy, he doesn't realize what he's doing, but he's telling me, this guy is so in love with me. It's not because I look hot there, and like anyone would say that was a great picture of me. I mean, it's not so bad for a license photo, but it was just like, this guy loves me now because I love myself.
Yeah, I love that.
And he couldn't before. This guy was not capable of loving me before, not because he wasn't capable of it. Maybe it was that, but it was because I didn't like myself. I really didn't. And if you are out there and you don't like yourself, doesn't mean that you should break up with whoever you're with that says they love you. That's not what I'm saying. But it really is the missing ingredient. And I will be fine without a man or with one for the rest of my life because I actually love myself a lot. Next story.
Megan Fox reveals that she doesn't drink anymore because she had too much champagne at the 2009 Golden Globes and became belligerent and said a bunch of shit. What? She shouldn't have said on the carpet.
Okay, so she drank too much champagne. Listen to these quotes that she said on the red carpet. They ask her, "Where's your husband? Where's your baby daddy, Brian Austin Green?"
Yeah, this was great.
And she goes, "He doesn't want to be here. He has a male ego, and he wanted to stay home." And what did she say? It's pretty much that, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
I was like, "This bitch is awesome."
And
she was just being honest.
Yeah, she also compared herself to Alan Alda, which, whatever.
Oh, like, she said something about being a tranny, because in 2009, that word was still kind of being tossed around, and she was wasted, and she was probably tired of being, like, said she looks hot all the time, and she was just like, I look like a kind of like a man today, or like, I'm wearing so much makeup, I feel like maybe a man, like, I feel like a fraud is probably what she was saying, because sometimes I have said that where I feel like I'm either like a drag queen or like a transsexual, because I feel like my soul is so masculine, and like I'm wearing all this makeup, and I feel like I'm lying about who I, or that I'm deceiving about who I really am. Yes. Or something. So I think she meant that. People, I think, have forgiven her for that, but her agents got so mad at her and were like, you can never do that again. I can't believe this didn't make more headlines. She literally said, she was like, yeah, he doesn't want to be here. He's a man with an ego.
Brian doesn't want to be here. He doesn't want to be my date. He's a man. He has an ego.
Yeah.
I think he's probably working on music. I don't think he cares. The music line is so beautiful in like, yeah, his little music. There's so much hatred in this.
Oh, yeah. They got in a huge fight for sure.
But this was the precursor. This is what you're talking about when people start doing jokes about their relationship, their partner. She was just being honest.
This was 10 years before they broke up.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, well, she was wasted. And so, and I love that she had, that was her bottom, was like, I said stuff on the red carpet that's going to hurt my career, probably really upset my husband, who I actually do respect his music, because she probably did, and she was probably just annoyed that night.
I feel like, though, I don't know, part of me thinks like she was maybe hated him so much. Obviously,
I just think she had a bad night with him.
But just hear me out. He failed as a musician. He did. He put out an album. It didn't work well. Always wanted to be a white rapper. Mm-hmm. And then obviously they had issues in their marriage, and she decided to be with a white rapper. I see a coincidence. That's all I'm saying.
No, I mean, like, that is interesting. I didn't know he had tried to do rap, but like, also, he I just see, I have done this before where I've lashed out in like interviews and taken out my aggression towards a man like this. And I was drunk with like anger or whatever it was, or I was just drunk and I've done it. And I think that can be excused. I don't think this was the beginning of the end for them, because I bet she could do this to MGK too. Like, I'm sure they have arguments where he's choosing something over her. And like, I think this was just her realizing that when she gets drunk, the truth might come out, but it's a truth that she wouldn't. It's not, I hate when people go, when I get drunk, I tell the truth. It's like, yes, but you also don't honor how much you love people and respecting their privacy, which is also part of your truth. So I like that she got sober after this. I was really inspired by that. I wonder if she still smokes pot. I'm guessing she does, because MGK is a huge stoner, but I would like to know, and I'm going to be friends with Megan Fox someday. Andrew, let's get to our sports moment.
Well, let's see how excited you are.
Here's Andrew's weekly sports moment.
That's maybe one of my my most proud voiceover moments of my life.
Yeah, I mean,
it's just, like every time I go, that is, I just recently released an F-Boy Island thing where it was F-Boys in the Wild. I couldn't even listen to it yesterday. I put it on my story. If you go to the F-Boy Island Instagram, I did this whole like, F-Boys in the Wild. They're a rare species.
I haven't heard that yet.
And I did all this voiceover for it, and I worked so hard on it. And then I heard the first line of it, and I was just like, oh, you flubbed this, bitch. And I couldn't listen to the rest. So go listen to that and tell me I'm wrong. But
I thought it fit the theme of what you were saying. I thought it was very good.
It was it funny, Noah?
Yes, because it went along with like the whole premise of that video, which
okay,
was so
good.
Funny.
Okay, I'm so glad. All right, maybe I'll watch it. My assistant, Jen, goes, I'll watch everything for you that you don't want to watch. I'll be like, you know how certain kings have people try things, eat things before they eat to make sure it's not poisoned.
Yeah,
so she's going to watch everything I do to make sure it's not poisoned and be like, no, you need to see this, or don't watch this thing.
And then she dies?
Yeah, she dies from watching me on The View.
Is that what you got booked on?
No.
Oh.
But I'm sure it'll happen soon.
Hey.
They're looking to replace Machine Gun Kelly. What's her name? Megan. Not Kelly. Megan McCain.
Oh, yeah. The original Space Jam director.
Oh, yeah.
Joe Pitka.
Let me just fill this one. He bashed the new Space Jam and LeBron in the new Space Jam because he said that, you know, with Michael Jordan, first of all, that movie Space Jam was based upon Michael Jordan's, he went to baseball, and like the whole movie was shaped around Michael Jordan's departure from basketball to baseball. So LeBron filling in, it didn't really make sense, even though I would argue him going from Cleveland to Miami was kind of like a departure that he got a lot of flack for. So I think that this, in similar vein, this guy also hasn't done a lot of work since then. He was probably excited to do an interview. I'm guessing this guy had a few cocktails before he did this interview, because he throws LeBron under the bus. I loved the first Space Jam. I don't remember anything about it, but I think I would be. He said Bugs Bunny looks terrible. The director said that. He said that. What other? I mean, like,
well, that like the supporting cast was way better in the first one. He's just,
of course, he would say this.
Mad.
He was the director, and he didn't get asked back for this one.
I thought it was so funny though that he was so blatantly honest, because you never hear anyone trashing these big movies. It was
true.
Just
no,
like,
I think
can't
he definitely had. I think he was drunk. I'm not joking you. When I heard this, I go, this guy is either drunk with anger. But I don't know what he's worked on a lot since then. I like this guy because I like that he was honest, like you're saying, Noah. But I think that, and no one trashes, LeBron does get trashed by like people who
LeBron
are
LeBron gets a shit ton of hate.
And he gets compared to Michael Jordan all the time. And he was asking for it in doing a remake of Space Jam. So who cares? But I think this is just getting a lot of press because this guy like really went hard. And like most of the time these interviews are so innocuously like pleasant and complimentary that you would never even notice
he
them.
Definitely has a chip on his shoulder for a myriad of reasons.
Let's try to get it right. He has a chip on his shoulder for what? Myriad reasons. Good job. I could be wrong about this, by the way.
You never are. I just love that they compare, like, these basketball people, they love comparing LeBron versus Michael Jordan versus Kobe, you know, and no matter what, and so this is a movie, and so now this guy's like, LeBron's acting skills, there's nothing compared, like, they could be, like, literally wiping their ass and be like, no, Michael Jordan wipes his ass up and down and gives a sick assist to his balls at the same time, more than LeBron, like, this, like, feeling of, like, they're both incredible, like, why are we arguing these like, what is it? Why?
Because
what is,
you know,
the need for someone to have to be right about the top five?
Well, I think, Andrew, I think it's human nature to compare and to crown a winner. It's definitely American to say winner, loser, because we don't like things just being the way they are and accepting people for what they're able to give in the moment. And I think that, you know, even when you're on a show with other comedians, there will always be, on the way out, people will go, I liked the first guy, the second guy, blah, 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 then this. She wasn't as good as like, everyone has to rate things. Even me, like, after a movie, when I'm walking out, I go, you know, that wasn't as good as the last one. I liked him better than this. It's like, you just got to rank. We
love a ranking.
We love it. And you know what? LeBron is worth so much money and does so many.
He's a billionaire
and he
now.
Does really good things for the world. And so did Michael Jordan, I think. And like, I love these. And Kobe, of course, was like, watching that Naomi Osaka documentary, she was like friends with Kobe and he reached out to her to like help her. And I get emotional just thinking about it because he just seemed, I didn't really know how like involved he was in like young women's sports, not just for his daughter, but like to reach out to this young 20-year-old tennis superstar and to give her advice about the game and just
life.
Well,
he was also, you know, he grew up in Europe, outside of America, you know, both being, you know, African American outside of, or I guess they're not African American if they grew up, whatever.
He's gone. I really didn't
remember. We were on the train.
Yeah, we were.
And I go and I read the headline. Yeah, I woke
you up. It was the first gig after Banging Out Tour 2020. It was January. We were coming back from Connecticut, I think, and we pulled into Penn Station, and I was like waking up in like the dark Penn Station, like the Amtrak pulls in, it's like all dark, and it was in the morning, and you were like, Kobe Bryant is dead, and I was like, wait, it was just, yeah, those moments that you, like, where were you? I remember that one. But I just want to say with the Kobe thing, like, I was thinking yesterday, Kobe was right before COVID, like, right, you know, that was like, he never experienced COVID. I don't know why that stuck out to me of like, oh my God, like this whole thing happened that he never, not that, that doesn't mean anything, but it's just weird that like this thing we've been living with that seems like the most like crazy thing that's ever happened to any of us besides, I would say September 11th and then COVID have been the two big American things, maybe JFK assassination, landing on the moon. But like Kobe missed one of those. And he seems like such a part of
I thought the same
now.
Thing about Mac Miller for some reason.
Yeah, like, why is that?
I had that same thought. I had that same
like
thought.
Like, they missed COVID. Like, why would we want them to see it? I mean, I guess I'm always like, what would they have said? Let's get to Fanthrax. I'm going to be honest with you guys. We taped an episode yesterday that is all Fanthrax. We went through all of our mail and tried to like empty it out because we are kind of behind on it. We get so many messages. So that is upcoming on the show, is a whole episode dedicated to your thoughts about the show and questions and concerns and advice. It was fun as fuck. And I love this segment.
Fanthrax, if you ask me.
Yeah. So let's get into Fanthrax. We do have a new theme song brought to you by Noah and her fiance, Avi, who is from a metal band, right?
Yes.
Let's play it first and then talk about it.
Featured in.
Oh my God. Wow.
Wait, it really
that sounds
off.
Like your asshole after you had a little bit of Tabasco the night before. That was, how do you even make your voice do that? That was Avi, by the way, from the band. What band was he in that was featured in Veep?
The band is called Magruder Grind.
Magruder Grind. We have a professional metal singer, Noah's fiance, Avi. He was also in the movie, in the show Veep, season one. I forget which episode. Dan and Jonah go to a concert together because I think Dan's trying to become friends with Jonah to bribe. Some kind of bribe is happening. They go to a metal show, and it's Avi is the singer in that. Avi, Noah's fiance, has been in my favorite show. And now we have that guy from Veep. Avi, what's his last name?
Calloway.
Avi Calloway. Future Noah Calloway is now our Fanthrax theme song. So thank you so much for that. You'll be hearing that weekly on Thursdays and for our upcoming all Fanthrax episode that will be out next week. So let's get to the Fanthrax. Let's see what you guys are thinking about the show and about yourselves and a life. Noah, read it for us.
Okay. So this came into our Instagram account, Nikki Glazer Pod. Hi, okay. Nikki. Hi, Nikki, Andrew, and Noah. Nikki, I just wanted to say thank you for mentioning your parents' canceled trip to Greece. Because of your dad's passport that was close to being expired.
Oh, my God.
My husband and I have a trip to the Maldives. Coming up. And because of your podcast, I looked into the passport rules, and it turns out his passport expiration would have put us in the same position as your parents.
Wow.
I never would have looked into this if it weren't for your show and the unfortunate experience your parents had. I'm sorry for them, but I'm so thankful that I found out and we have enough time to renew my husband's passport prior to our trip.
Jen.
Thanks, guys. Jen.
I'll answer this as Julie Glazer. Jen, God damn it. You know, when Nikki told me that something good would happen because EJ and I got detained in Germany for goddamn 7 hours, I thought, honestly, Jen, I thought we weren't going to get out of there. And you know what? EJ had to bring these goddamn pot gummies that were in the bag the whole time. They wouldn't let me get my luggage. I thought, we are going to end up in, you know, Interpol's going to be called. We're not going to get out of here, goddammit. We didn't get to eat. There was one nice guy. I thought, you know what? There isn't anything good going to come of this. Nikki said there would. But now, Jen, I know. You're going to have, something's going to happen in the Maldives that is going to be amazing for you, goddammit. And I can't wait for it. And you know what? Nick, you're right. Good things do happen out of bad things. And Jen, I hope that something you experience in the Maldives goes wrong so that it can help someone else. Isn't it Maldives?
I feel like it's Maldives.
I'm almost positive it's Maldives. I definitely fucked it up.
I think it's Maldives. I think you heard Noah say Maldives. And
no, she said Maldives.
No, she said Maldives.
No, she definitely said Maldives.
Wanna bet?
I think Maldives.
She said Maldives.
I don't even remember.
Want to bet? How much you want to bet?
$100. She said Maldives.
No, she said Maldives.
Okay.
Can we rewind it?
$100.
Noah, can you figure
it out? No, we'll do it. We'll find out afterwards. And now the listener's going to go back and listen. She just read that from Jen. $100.
When she read the thing in the paragraph, $100.
$100. Here we go. All right. So let's see what it really is pronounced. Let's see. 1 second.
She said Maldives. I know for a fact because I heard it and I was like, that's weird.
I was really hoping you wouldn't ask me to read that one because I didn't know.
Well, here we go. Here we go. Here's what it is.
I didn't want this to happen.
Maldives pronunciation. Let's do this. And it's going to play.
I think it's the Maldives.
Oh, it's connected to my goddamn Bluetooth. One second.
Goddamn it.
I'm being
Nick.
My mom. Here, I got it.
Maldives.
Maldives.
Well, that's what she said.
She said Maldives.
No, she said Maldives. I said it wrong.
We're going to find out, and you guys listening right now, you know that I won $100, so
no,
thank you,
you
for
know
congratulating
I won
$100. We can't go back
if
right now.
If you had to rank it, I won. Number one.
All right. So, Jen, thank you so much for that. That is awesome, and that is exactly what I'm talking about.
And I love the awareness of Maldives trip.
Oh,
being
my God. Can I just say yesterday, I ran into a guy. I was walking Luigi. He was on leash. I ran into a guy that had a dog named Danny. Very, very cute little beagle dog. Danny. It's a puppy. It's so cute. It's a girl too named Danny. So cute. And he said to me, he goes, are you wanting to take Luigi off leash? And he goes, do you want to take him off leash? And I looked at him like, I thought he noticed that I'm an off leasher around the building and was kind of like, they all talk about me. Like, this bitch has a dog off leash. And so I kind of look at him, I go, no, because I really didn't want to. And I was like, now they're talking about me. Like, they know that I'm this off-leash bitch. And they're all like, she thinks she's cool. Yeah. And then I realized he's a fucking bestie.
That's great.
I realized it after I walked away. So shout out to Danny's owner. You were so sweet. And I'm sorry. I like was very confused by you saying that. And you were trying to let me know you listen to the podcast. All right. Next.
Okay. This is a voicemail from Becca.
Sweet.
Hey, Nikki. My name is Becca and day one bestie. So I was listening to the podcast on Monday and you mentioned that you were at the Colony Hotel in Palm Beach on Saturday.
Yes.
And I was actually on a date right across the street. I looked out the window and I said, I wonder what's going on at the Colony Hotel this weekend. He goes, I don't know. And then, come to find out it's you, the woman that I listen to every day of my life, favorite comedian of all time. I thought that was funny. But yeah, sometimes I just feel like this friendship is one way. Like,
it is, Becca.
No, we could have got that spray tan together. You could have let me know.
Yeah, you're right, Becca.
But
no, you're not.
Yeah,
and
can't
I'm
wait
not kidding
to
either.
See you at the Hard
I'm
Rock
sad
Orlando
we didn't get to
in
meet.
September. Super
oh, nice.
Excited. So yeah,
Becca.
Bye.
Okay, this is what I love. I love that people talk to me like I'm a best friend that they just like missed in passing, and like I am going to try to be a little bit more giving on our social, on our pod social, about my whereabouts, because sometimes I don't want to let people know because I just don't want to. There could be people that want to do me harm. But I'm so mad I missed the opportunity to run into you. I love when I get to run into besties, and the ones of you I've met, you know that when you run into me, it is, I treat you like a best friend, and I give you a hug like we haven't seen each other forever. And because, and I know it's one-sided, which I would argue that a lot of my best friends who I see in person, they would also argue this relationship's one-sided. But no, that means a lot to me, and that's why I love hearing from you guys, because it just, I get verification that the people that listen to the show are people that I would be best friends with and want to get coffee with, and I will eventually be doing that. Like, I love you guys. So, and you're more special to me than any other fan I've accrued in my life through stand-up, through anything. No offense if you like me from stand-up. That's also me, but this is more me. I just want to say quickly a Fanthrex from Mark, someone you will see on the upcoming season of F-Boy Island, Mark Moran.
Oh, yeah.
He wrote me and invited us to a premiere party in New York on that he's having. We're not going to be there, unfortunately. But he said, he goes, Nikki, I'd love you to go. Would you be two of my guests at this party? I said, oh, we're not going to be there, but I wish we could be. And he said, ah, oh, kuh. He wrote C-O-U-H-L. Ah, oh, kuh. No worries. He was saying cool, but it wrote kuh. No worries. See you when you come to New York for your show and hope all is well. Love listening to you and Andrew Monday through Thursday. At first I read kuh and I'm like, did that autocorrect for him because he was talking to me? Like, or did he write kuh? Like,
has he been writing kuh?
No, I had no idea. Listen to the show. I am Mark. Shout out. Thank you for listening to the show. You're so funny on the show. I got to sing your praises yesterday on the F-Boy podcast that's coming out soon, that is hosted by two hilarious comedians. I can't remember their names right now. I'm so embarrassed. But I did a podcast yesterday about F-Boy Island. I really recommend you guys listening, because they'll have people. And the host they got for it, which you never know what they're going to get to just do this temporary podcast about a show. HBO got two comedians that I know both from the roast scene, and another one I knew from Nicole Richie's Quibi show, yeah. Who was, I started following because I was like, this guy is the funniest person ever. So I was just so happy to see them, and it just made me even, it made me believe so much more in like HBO already, because I've even been giving interviews being like, they were so hands off with me in terms of like, do whatever you want, Nikki, that I think it was negligent. Like, I think it was a bad mistake. Like, it was almost like, you guys don't want to say anything. They just trusted, and yeah, they, just because they have good taste. They know that they're not funnier than me, so they're going to let me. That's smart. That's what executives should do. Dude. And I really just shout out to those guys. And Mark Moran, I gave you a shout out on the F-Boy podcast because how funny you were on the season. And what I always say about you is that although your jokes, we took apart some of the jokes you make on the second episode on a date, and we rate them. And they're all like dad jokes that he heard along the way. I don't think he made these jokes up. And we kind of bash you for those jokes. But what I wanted to say, and I said on the show, I think, is that you take risks that I don't take. That if you embarrass yourself, it's so embarrassing. But if it comes through, it's amazing. And you're someone that takes a lot of risks, probably financially too. And that's why you're doing well.
He's very fast.
Yeah.
Like running. Like,
oh, insane. Really?
He ran track in D1. I saw him sprint a race, a guy in the parking lot, and he, whoa, smoked him by like 30 feet.
Go, Mark.
It was unbelievable.
This is from Marin, and it says, divorced parents live next door to each other. Okay, good to know.
Oh, Marin of reasons.
Hey, besties. My name is Marin, and I'm calling because in a recent episode, y'all were talking about how Adele bought a house for her husband across the street after they got, yes, divorced. And I just wanted to share that when my parents got divorced when I was in sixth grade, my mom bought the house next door to my dad, and I grew up with my parents living next door to each other. And it was a super amicable divorce, so I grew up like pretty happy with this arrangement. And I love to tell people about my childhood and how that went stuff. So thought y'all would find it interesting. Thanks so much for making this show. It helps get me through my SSDJ, my soul-sucking desk job. Anyway, can't wait to hear the next episode. Thanks. Bye.
Love it. SSDJ could also be day job, like if you're not at a desk. Or soul-sucking standing desk job, if you are do a standing desk, an SSSDJ. Thank you so much for that, and what cool parents to arrange that. I think that is actually,
I wonder if the ideal parents started, if they got, I would just like to know a follow-up, if they got remarried or if they dated a lot, and like the other parent looking out the window, like just seeing like a relationship blossom, like that might be tough, I would think.
Yeah,
wouldn't you?
Yeah, but unless you really were like, we're better off as friends, and I don't care.
No, it's awesome. Know? Like, dude, I mean, like I said before, like hearing that is so foreign to me. But so many, like I did a divorce podcast. I did like hundreds of episodes. And the common denominator was like, your parents can be divorced all day, but as long as they stay friends afterwards, the kid is literally could be better
not gonna
than
end
ever.
Up a comedian.
Yeah, we'll probably end up a doctor like their father.
I did get one short one in from my DMs. I want to say that the girl that I told you guys about that has an OnlyFans and she looks like me. And so if you're into like sexy material from someone who really looks like me,
this girl's going to buy a Bentley with
Luna
you.
Hill X1 wrote to me and she said, I really can't begin to thank you enough, Nikki. I got over 200 new subs from you. I've been working so hard and you doing something like this has honestly helped me so much. I hope I'm not making you uncomfortable with too many thank yous and your best and you're the best, but seriously, thank you. You're the best. Thank you for subscribing to her OnlyFans. I really love to support artists on OnlyFans, especially ones that I find via porn sites that I'm like really into. They oftentimes have OnlyFans. It's just a great way to like actually give the money and to like cruelty free porn. And also Luna Hill X1, you can follow on Instagram.
Can Luna do us a solid though? Her next OnlyFans video, can you shave NGP into your vagina hair just to kind of get some of her followers, fans of ours?
I
would
think
be
that's
nice.
Only right.
And if you don't have vagina hair, maybe I figured just
grow it out. Grow it out, and then shave it in. I think it's a good idea, and I will never advertise her OnlyFans. I'm not advertising it. I will tell you to unsubscribe unless she does that. So that is a threat. Let's get to our last thing. Noah, do we have time for one last one?
Fan threats. Fan threats.
That's pretty good.
Wow, that's really good.
That was you the whole time? Oh, I thought she was playing it again.
Fan threats. That's good.
Whoa.
Okay, really this impressed. Is from
Nicola. I
think. Maybe the Glazer sisters, just straight up, by the way. I've been thinking
I want
about
it to be Taylor Swift related. So it's like, you know how like they always do like a song? Like
maybe the Fashion Eggs.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Hey, Nikki, Andrew, and Noah. My name's Nicola, and I'm calling in because I not only have a mispronunciation story, but also a cuss story. The mispronunciation story is not about myself, but about my friend Sage. She's notorious for always misspelling and saying things incorrectly, but the funniest story is when she was fighting with her mom, she was really mad, and she goes, "You are the epitome of crazy," and her mom looks at her and laughs and goes, "Did you mean to say epitome?" And she has not lived that one down since. And then my cum story is, oh my gosh, so cum and so cringe. But my friends and I in middle school were trying to flirt with the boys, of course. And we thought the best way to do that would be to pull out a strand of hair from our ponytails and to go around to all of the boys and ask them to pet our rat tails. And then we proceeded to force them to pet them. I don't know why.
I like that.
It was not flirty.
It's not
cool. Most definitely cum. But anyway,
I don't know if it's
good. So
I think
much
it's cool.
Always making me laugh. I get some pretty bad anxiety in the
Nicola.
Car, but your podcast is my safe place and always gets me through it. I'll be seeing you, Nikki, when you come to Wisconsin, and I cannot wait.
And Andrew, too.
Love you, besties.
Nicola, oh my God. I love your name, first of all. Like, that's so much more fun
it's
than
like
Nicole.
If your name had a like a cigarette holder.
Yeah, yeah, like Nick Allah. Allah means to the. Nick to the Glazer. Nick, whatever your last name is, your name is Nick to the blank in French.
Damn.
Nicola, thank you so much for that. That was the epitome of a mispronunciation example. Love it. The K thing, I do understand that, like, just like, why did we do that? The bizarre thing in middle school, like, we took out our hair and said pet our rat tails.
I love that.
We did a thing called Guess the Boob that I've talked about where we just took a picture. We had the first like internet camera ever. My dad got AOL, you know, Instant Messenger. We took a picture of one breast, each of us, except me because I was too modest. And I just asked Kirsten to be my stand-in boob because she had the best boobs. And then we would send the boobs to guys in our middle school or our high school. It was middle school, actually. Like in between.
Whoa.
And we would go guess whose boob is who. This is who's here. And then they would try to guess it. And that was dumb. And I never did my own one. But
I do love that story because you could have gotten boobs from the internet, but you guys actually went with your actual tits.
Yeah, like, I mean, because we just had to use that camera. It was so dope.
What Brandon told me this song a couple days ago. Have you ever heard the T-Pain song where he raps Mansion in Wisconsin?
No. I just like he rhymes them?
Yeah.
Mansion, Wisconsin.
He got the mansion. Imp in Wisconsin.
I love
I love a mispronunciation to rhyming.
Stretch of a rhyme.
Yeah. My favorite one is in the Billy Currington song. He goes, I read in the obituary he was a millionaire.
Oh, love throwing on the thing. Like airy. Like it doesn't, I mean, that's fun.
That is fun. That? Billy Currington. It's God is great and people are good.
And beer is crazy. Beer is good. People are crazy is what I think it is. It starts with God.
Oh.
Oh, it starts with God. I remember, right? I wrote that. Literally, it's in my phone, right? Look at it. I type in God in my notes.
It's a great song.
Watch this. And you know why? Look at it. It says God.
I love this song because he meets this old man who cuts his shitty kids out of the will and gives him all his money just because they drank one day at a bar.
I wrote that down because I saw it on someone's Bumble profile and I thought it was just such a perfect example of just an idiot. But then I didn't know there were lyrics. I was just like, people are crazy. Saying people are crazy is kuh. I've heard a couple kuhs recently that I go, that's not kuh. So let's just reiterate. And by the way, I don't care if you're not right with kuh. I just love that using it.
Yes.
Mark used it wrong by saying it's kuh. Like that, it wasn't, you know, it's fine. Kuh means you're trying to look cool, but you're acting like you're not trying. Like you're acting like you don't want people to notice.
Or it's an aggressive look cool.
The rev is done, like the person's not doing it to be like, hey, watch, I'm about to, if someone goes, about to rev my engine to a bunch of people and then they rev it, that's not kuh. If they rev it, like they're just like, I'd be doing this anyway, but they're literally doing it for someone else.
Okay.
Kuh, by definition, awareness, is something that you do to get people's attention that you, here's what to tell someone thing is kuh. If you wouldn't do it unless people were around and you're doing it because people are around, but you're doing it without acknowledging that you're doing it because people are around, is kuh.
Gotcha.
Final thought before we go off. You go off to Chicago today. You're driving Brenna there. I am going to Mexico on Saturday. I will be broadcasting from there on Monday. Will you still be in Chicago on Monday?
Potentially until Wednesday.
Are you going to play golf there?
A lot of golf.
Nice.
A lot of golf with my cousins and I believe with Brenna's.
Yeah, she told me that someone in her family wanted to play with you and they were like, do you think Andrew would be interested in playing a round of golf with? And she goes, he would love nothing more. Nothing more than that he would love. So I just love that she is embracing your obsession with golf.
And we go on the road. Maybe I could squeeze in a 9 somewhere. No,
like the thing I was
thinking, it'll be hard, actually.
I'm so obsessed with guitar. If I had to go somewhere to play guitar and like couldn't do it in the house, I would be gone all the time doing it. All the time. And the fact that you're gone is because I have shame about playing golf about playing guitar because it doesn't actually contribute to my bottom, like my making money and my career that is active. And so I always feel bad playing it, especially when I'm like, Andrew, could you watch Luigi? I have so much to do today. And then I'm playing guitar. It's like, well, why are you playing guitar? Like, and it's like, well, yesterday I had to get on a call.
Dude, it's for your well-being, man.
Yeah.
It's important than money. But money is.
Yesterday,
you need money to care about your well-being.
Yesterday, I had 5 hours of nonstop talking, of being on. I did this show for an hour and a half. You know, then we did a special episode that's going to air, Fanthrax only. That was about an hour. Then I did an hour F-Boy Island podcast. Then I did an hour interview with Elle. And then something else was an hour. And it was me talking, being on. And not like people go, oh, I worked a 5-hour day. That's nothing. You're like at your computer. You like sometimes get distracted by your phone. I could not be on my phone for any of this. I was at some points because I just had to and got distracted. But like when I'm on and doing an interview, I can't be on my phone. I can't eat. I can't the last interview was supposed to be on Zoom. And I go, can I do this as a phone call? Because I have to clean up my house. And so during it, I was like, like folding clothes and stuff. But what I was going to say about that was, before one of my interviews, I was running late and I needed to get hair and makeup. And then I got everything ready and I'm, oh my gosh, 2 minutes till the interview starts. I'm ready to go. but I really wanted to play a song on guitar because I just was craving it so much. My ADD meds were kicking in a way that I was like going to nail this song. It was like, yes. And I said to Andrew, I go, Andrew, is it bad if I'm 7 minutes late, not because I wasn't ready, but because I wanted to play a song on guitar? And he goes, I think you just answered your own question. And I go, you're right. I'll get on right now. And so I got on the Zoom. No. I played guitar.
You threw your guitar out the window.
I was 7 minutes late and it ended up being okay. And I didn't lie and say that, you know, I'm not ready. I was just like, I need 7 more minutes.
Dude.
And it wasn't a lie. I did need the for
so
my
So many
mental
companies,
well-being.
They have ping pong tables in their fucking office. Yeah. They have... So many guys have putting greens in their office. Like, you need a little bit of fucking misdirect to just be able to be great at the other stuff. That's
okay,
all.
So that's what that's. I'm giving maybe every Thursday we leave with like a challenge for this weekend to the listener. My challenge to you, listener, is something that you are feeling very anxious about, that you are like, I have to do it for them. Like, you're just doing it for someone else and you like have to be accountable. Figure out a way, be late without lying. Allow yourself to be 5 minutes late, because don't you allow people to be 5 minutes late, listener? Don't you? Wouldn't you? If you would allow this person that you're meeting to be 5 minutes late and totally understand it and wouldn't mess up how you view them, allow yourself an extra 5 minutes and do anything that you want. Literally pull up a TV show you're watching. Do something that is so self-indulgent. Don't lie about it. Just say, I'm sorry, I need an extra 5 minutes. You're not lying. You need it. Do something that you would be ashamed to admit, but is going to make you feel better, and see what happens.
And if you got if you get fired, don't like blame us.
You won't get fired. 5 minutes will always be okay. And even if that 5 minutes is going to get an iced coffee and you walk in 5 minutes late with an iced coffee, that coffee is going to make you better for the minutes you are there. Not the that 5 minutes that you took to get the coffee is well worth.
And if you're an ER surgeon, don't
play a Taylor Swift song before you get in there and operate.
What if the person's
going to
die though,
Nikki? No, this is about you. And you know what? Something good will come of their death. Maybe Jen will have a better time in the Maldives. And I'm about to win $100 when we go back and listen.
No way, dude.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Have all the swells this weekend. Don't be cur. And be cur if you want to. Listen, we all need attention. And jackfruit.